Okay, so tonight's topic, tonight's melacha, we did kosev last week. This melacha is the inverse of kosev, which is meichik, erasing. Okay, this is going to be broken up into two parts, and we're going to try to understand each part separately. This way it'll be more understandable. And you get to the nature of this melacha of meichik with practical applications and nafkaminas. So Mishnah and Gimel and Aleph lists the melacha of meichik, and it's one of the lamatas melachas. Does anybody know where the Malacha Mochik was found in the Mishkan? Yehuda? So I'll give you a hint. Last week, Kosev was found in the Mishkan because, just like we know by Sukkos, when our fathers, or mentioned by you, when you want to build your Sukkah, you want to remember from year to year which Krushim go to which beams go to which. You put an A over here, an A over here, a B, a B. You label them in order to know which one goes together. That's how Kosev was done. That's where Kosev was done in the Mishkan, because the Krushim had to be set up in the same way each time the Mishkan was assembled. So the inverse of that would be Meichik. So where do you think it took place in the Mishkan? Ah, very good. So Yehuda said beautifully that if they labeled and made a mistake, instead of writing a Aleph, they wrote a Beis by accident. So they would have to erase that letter and then rewrite that letter in order to label the Krushim correctly. So that's where Mochik was written in the Mishkan. It was done in the Mishkan. And very, you know, interestingly enough, and this is the main point of tonight's shiur, if you look at the Mishnah Ayin Gimel, the way the Tana phrases the Melacha is that it's Mochik al Menas Lichtov, that a person has to erase in order for the sake of writing two letters, it says. So we're going to have to understand the nature of that requirement. But al kopanim, it's very clear. The Mishnah Berurah says in Shin Mem Sifkat and Tes, the Berlacha also says this, that the Av Melacha of Mochik in the Mishkan was specifically to write, to erase letters in order to write two new letters. That's what took place in the Mishkan. Now, it's important to point out, before we go weiter, that the Rush in Zion test brings down a Tosefta in Yud Bei Zion, who writes that although it's true that in the Mishkan, the letters were erased, but Mochik also applies even if you erase a blotch of ink. Even a blotch of ink. You did hear me? Really, the whole time? Okay, good. So even if you give me some feedback as I'm speaking, so I know that you can hear me. It's Zoom. We have to adapt to our situation. But Hashem, hopefully, I just heard that in the summer, we're going to have less restrictions, and we'll hopefully be back to normal. But as Hashem, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides that way, and no more Zoom. As much as I love teaching over Zoom, no more. I think we're all Zoomed out. So you now start appreciating. I'm freezing. Still freezing? No. Okay, 1 second. Mindy, please come closer. Mindy, please come closer. Again, I'm telling my, let me just fix the connection. Mindy, please come. Okay, let's try that again. So what did you, everyone heard the first step? The Mochik was in the Mishkan, erasing the letters in order to rewrite two letters. That's how the Iker Av Malacha of Mochik took place in the Mishkan. Erasing letters to rewrite two letters. Okay? Sure. So let's say they wrote the label incorrectly. So there was a mistake. So they had to erase that letter in order to rewrite the letter. No, not hypothetical. There are plenty of times where it could have happened that when they labeled the crush, they made a mistake. We don't know exactly what happened. That's what took place in the Mishkan. Not hypothetical. It's very likely that it did happen. Okay. Let's see if I can find you a Mar Mokum. That's a fair question. It's very good to always look for the Mekol HaDvarim That's a very fair question. Rashi on Ayin Gimel Koisev. Let's look at it together, Chevre. Yehuda's asking a good kasha, but let's make sure we see it inside. This way, everyone, let me share the screen for you. Let me share the screen and let me prove you. Let me show you Exhibit A. That's Ayin Gimel Omud Aleph. Ayin Gimel Omud Aleph. Here we go. Let's see the Mishnah. This is the most famous Mishnah of all time in Lagabe Shabbos. This lists all the 39 melachot, melachas. And if you look on Mochik, it says Mochik Almanas Lichtoiv. Where are we? Right over. Where are we here? Mochik Almanas Lichtoiv Shiotzios. See it? Okay. And Zot Rashi. Which one is the shidduch? That's for Kosev. They wrote the letter on the Mishkan in order on the Krushim in order to know which one is the shidduch to which one. That's for Kosev. The Kosev os bezu ve os bezu, and says Rashi umochik pamim shita. And sometimes they erased it when they made a mistake. Good, excellent. So that's Rashi on the Mishnah. That's Mochik. Reuven, you paying attention? Reuves, you there? Good, excellent. So, okay, good. So the Rush, now this is very important. The Rush extends and says, although that's what took place in the Mishkan, that they erased the letters, it would also apply to erasing a blotch of ink. If you some have a spilled ink on a piece of paper and you erase that, that's also part of Mochik. And the Rush says, because in essence, this is a lumdisha point of the Rush, in essence, an incorrect letter, a mistaken letter, is no different than a blotch of ink. Because that's not the letter you want. That's not what you want. So in essence, every mistaken letter, every mistake is just a blotch of ink. So says the Rush, even if a person erases a blotch of ink, that's also called moichik. It does not have to actually erase a letter, which is, even though that's how it took place in the Mishkan, but it would also extend to erasing a blotch of ink. Okay? And the last point we have to remember before we discuss Almanas Lichtov is the Tosefta and Yud Ben Zayin says that the shear of Mochik, how much do you have to erase? So the Gemara, the Tosefta says it's a shear of Shteosios. The shear of two, the space of two letters is the amount that you have to erase in order to be Chayiv for Mochik. So that's all Bederech Hagdama. We have the Av Melacha, which is to erase letters, Amanas, to write two letters. We have the Rush's extension of erasing even a blotch of ink. And number three, the Shear of Shtei Osios is what you need to erase in order to be Chai for Mochik. The big question becomes is number four. As we just showed in the Mishnah, as Yehuda instigated the share screen, good for Yehuda. The Mishnah says Mochik al menas lichtov shtei osios. Very specific to Mochik. Only a few other malachas have those sprach of al menas. So the question is, what is this requirement of al menas lichtov shtei osios? What's the nature of this requirement? Is this a rigid requirement? Are we saying that Mochik needs to always be done for the sake of rewriting, or is it just an example of a different underlying principle? Okay, so we have to, that's the question we're asking ourselves right now. Is this a rigid requirement, or can I have other ways of being chayav for mochik, even if you're not planning on rewriting? So this is subject to a machlokes lishonim. Okay? Machlokes lishonim. Yes? Yeah? No, the Rush says, even if you erase a blotch of ink, the shear stays the same. You always need a shear of shteosios. You have to erase the space of two letters. But even if the two letters are not made up of letters, but just a blotch of ink that makes up two letters, that's also going to be mochik. Because the main point is that you're just erasing a surface. We're going to get into what that means soon. But the Rush is saying that it's not tully on letters. You don't have to erase actual letters. The Av Malach on the Mishkan took place with letters. But any mistaken letter, says the Rush, is also considered a blotch of ink. So even if you What's the difference, he says, between a mistaken letter and you spilling some DO on some parchment? Either way, it should not be there, and you're trying to erase that substance. Whenever you erase that substance, that's called moichik. That's the Tosefta. 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 The Gemara brings it down on Ayin Hey. Okay, so now that we have that ironed out. Moving, you good, Eliezer? Okay, beautiful. Okay, let's stay focused. Okay, so here we go. This is probably going to be a two-part series, so I'm just trying to take it slow for everyone so we can digest it properly and try to consolidate the information. So now, here we go. The question becomes, what is the nature of the requirement of almanas lichtov shtei osios? Why does mochik need almanas lichtov shtei osios? Is that a rigid requirement, or is that just an example of something, a different underlying principle? So this is a machlokas lishoyne between the Rambam on the one hand, and Rashi and the Rosh on the other hand. The Rambam is nevuah. We can't go through all the diukim right now. This is supposed to be an 18-minute halacha, so we're not going to go through all the diukim. But on a basic level, the Nechas Chinuch is nedayik in the Rambam, that the Rambam, when he understood almanas, it's not a rigid requirement that a person has to actually always erase in order to rewrite. That's not the nature of that requirement. Rather, erasing means erasing. You have to erase something. Almanas is just a way to avoid a different problem. Mochik inherently is something destructive. You're doing something destructive. It's not productive. You're erasing something and taking something away that wasn't there, that was there before. So the Rambam says that almanas is just to avoid kilkul, just to avoid any destructive nature to the act. Erasing has to be done for productive purposes. So what's an example of a typical productive purpose? When you erase in order to rewrite. Rewriting is a tikkun. There's a productive purpose in rewriting something that you erased. So says the Rambam, he's meduyak in two places where he says the only reason why you need almanas is to avoid kilkul. That's what he says. And he says as long as you do a mechika that is not mekalkel, you're chayiv. So the Minchas Chinuch learns in the Rambam that he doesn't, almanas lichtov shtei osios is not a rigid requirement that it always needs to be done almanas to rewrite. We'll see the nafka minas what this means soon. But the Rambam just says that the Mishnah says almanas as an example. It's an example of a shpitz tikkun. I'm erasing for a very productive purpose to rewrite. But if I can find you other ways, Yehuda, Eliezer, Reuven, that erasing something could be productive, that would also be moichik. Limashal, if let's say I have a shtar that says Reuven Tyler owes Rav Daitan $1 million. And Reuven comes along and he erases one of the zeros at the very end. He erases one zero. So that's erasing, but that's definitely productive. Instead of owing me $1 million, he only owes me $100,000. Or let's say it's as chayiv or put. Yeah. So that's a tikkun relative to Reuven. So that's the mashal. It doesn't mean Reuven's not rewriting the letters. He's not rewriting the numbers. It doesn't matter. It was erasing for a productive purpose. That was the Rambam Shita. However, Rashi and the Rush argue, and we'll see nafkaminas that will bring out this machlokas. Rashi and the Rush argue, it's meduyak and Rashi, the Shalmanisim makes this meduyak and Rashi, the Rush that we just quoted is mevor lehedya this way, that's not the pshat. That really, almanas lichtov shtei osios is a rigid requirement. The only way to be chayim for moichek min ha-toira on Shabbos is erasing for the sake of rewriting letters, of writing again, of writing two letters. That's how the Rush and Rashi learn. So the question becomes, before we go to the Nafka Minas, what exactly is the underlying Hesber, the Biur HaDvarim behind this Machlokes Lishonim between the Rambam Rashi, Rambam and Rashi and the Rush? What is the Hesber? So we can really break this down to two ways of looking at the Malacha of Moichek, which is brought down by the Shalmanisim, and other Achronim spell this out. The very bevust skabov, which means like very common, famous way of being masbir this machlokes, and that there are two ways to view moichik. One way of looking at moichik is the nature of the act of moichik is erasing. Define moichik as erasing. Now, since erasing has inherently destructive aspects to it because it's erasing something, so you have to avoid that that destruction by doing something mitukan, something with a tikkun, productive. So it's erasing for productive purposes. Almanas lichtov shiosios is an example of that. That's the Rambam Shita. The Rosh and Rashi who are holding that mochik needs to specifically have a rigid requirement of rewriting two letters, they're viewing mochik in a different perspective. They are understanding mochik as a hechsher ksiva. Mochik is defined as preparing a surface for writing. It's not defined as erasing for productive purposes, but rather, it's defined as preparing a surface for writing, being mafshir a makom for ksiva. So according to that definition, it should come out that mochik cannot be done in any other way, ella amenas lechtov sheosios. Because when you erase for the sake of rewriting, what you're doing when you're erasing is you are erasing by preparing the surface for rewriting. That's preparing the surface for kosev. Those are the two tzadim. So the Rambam will be working with the first possibility that erasing means, mochek means simply erasing for productive purposes. Whereas the Rosh and Rashi are learning the second possibility that really it's preparing a surface for writing. The underlying productive quality of mochik is hechsher ksiva. The significance of erasing a substance on a document is to prepare the surface for writing. That would be the tut stadim. And now we're going to be able to go through many nafkaminas and applications in halacha from between these two possibilities in halacha. So let's just give one nafkamina, and then I'll let you ask questions. This way you can digest it. You want to ask questions now? Do you have any questions now? Clarifications? Eliezer, Ruvain? No. Okay, beautiful. Klar, everything's klar? Okay, good. So let's do the following nafkamina, just to bring out this point. It's always nice to bring out the chakila in the following way. This is possible nafkamina one, and this is going to have multiple applications, this one nafkamina. Because if you think about it, there's a general nafkamina that can be presented between these approaches. Anytime we are discussing a situation where one is performing an act of mochik for productive purposes, but which is not done for the sake of rewriting, is going to be a nafkamina, right? Because the Fila Rambam, you're erasing for productive purposes, so you're going to be chayiv. But the Fila Rosh and Rashi, you're not going to be chayiv because you're not rewriting in two new letters. So this is going to have a lot of applications. So lemashal, working with approach one, we will say that there's no specific need to rewrite. You'll be chayiv, like I just said. According to Rosh and Rashi, you'll be putter, at least in the Torah, because you have to rewrite it. So let's give one application to bring this out. This is practical application one within possible nafkamina one. We're going to have multiple applications within possible nafkamina one. So Svas Emes in Ein Hayam Abeis on Shabbos, he raises the following shaila: what would someone be chayiv for mochik in a situation where one erases the space of two letters, like we said, you have to always erase that shear. But he only has in mind to fill the space up with one letter, a single letter. He erases the shear makom of two osios, which is the shear that you need to do. But he only has in mind to write one letter. That's it. So says the Svas Emes, if you work with approach one, with the Rambam, the Malacha of Mochik, is violated any time an act of erasing is done for a productive purpose. So, mehechi teisi, you would ever need to write two letters. As long as your erasure is for productive reasons, even a single letter is productive. If Yehuda is, the Y, it doesn't look so nice to Yehuda in Yehuda's name, and he wants to fix up the Y, so he erases the Y and the E because he needs two letters worth of erasure, fine. And then he rewrites the Y. That's productive. That's just the first letter of his name. It's a beautiful name, Yehuda. So that's a single letter. You'll be chayiv for that. But if you work with Rashi and the Rush, that mochik is defined as a hechsher ksiva. You're preparing the surface for writing. Then there's room to argue that really the Torah set up mochik, the malacha of mochik, as a precursor to the malacha of kosev. And since we know that Kosev needs to write two osios to be chayev, like we discussed in the past, you need to write two letters to be chayev mina Torah, not chatishir, but mina Torah. Malacha, the malacha of Kosev is two letters. So mochik has to prepare a surface of writing for two letters. So if you are mochik and you only rewrite one letter, you did not fit the definition of hechsher tziva. You did not prepare that surface for the malacha of Kosev, because the malacha of Kosev needs two letters, and you would be putter. Yes. Excellent point, Lubin. Right. Excellent point, Lubin. If you noticed, the way I phrased the Nafkamina was Lefi approach one, L'chayr, you would for sure be chayiv. Lefi approach two, that it's a hechsher ksiva, there's room to argue, not that you have to say it, but there'd be room to argue that the malacha of mochik would be a precursor to the malacha of kosev. It wouldn't just be an arbitrary, independent malacha. Mochik serves kosev. So you would, there's room to say, not that you have to, but the point of the nafkamina is that for according to approach one, you would for sure be chayiv. And according to approach true, there could be two ways, but there'd be room to argue that you'd talk to be putter. But the maisa, you can't hear this side in the first approach. You for sure will be chayiv the first approach because it's productive. In the second approach, there's wiggle room. And if you wanted to putter yourself, you maybe have a basis to putter because the maisa, it's supposed to be a precursor to the malacha of kosev. That's an arguable point. That's a very good point, Ruby. By Soser and Bona. It happens to be that the Mishnah does say Soser Almanas Livnos, but it also happens to be that I only did the Malacha Bona this year. I did not do Soser yet. So when I do Soser, I'll definitely be able to get back to you about that. Fair enough. That's the secret in life. I'll tell you guys a secret in life. We'll end with this because our blast is coming on in a second, and we're up to the next application of this Nafkamina, which we'll do on Thursday, Be'ez Hashem. But I'll tell you a secret in life, secret in learning. The Hatzlacha in learning comes, one Hatzlacha in learning comes when you know what you know and you know what you don't know. Once you're able to categorize what you know, what you know, what you don't know, you'll be in good shape. You'll never say anything wrongly about things that you don't know, and you'll only say things that you do know. So that. Oh, what's the third category? Things that we don't even know. I think there's a fourth possibility if I followed your first three, which is things that we think we know, but we really don't know it. Okay, so I'm utterly confused, and I'm not even sure if what we're talking about right now is something in the category of things that I know or I don't know right now, but this is completely confusing. Have a wonderful night. Okay, so we're going to continue on Thursday, okay?